Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, weeknights, things will be better. Oh yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson. It's Sports Night with Parker.
Yes,
and
I'm starting it up. Rob said, start it up. Start it up, start it up. Ooh, I'm going to make that my first single off my new LP. Start it up. Start it up, Rob Parker says. Start it up. Podcast. Parker the Mad Podcast for the week of February 24th. Good news. Saturday is officially the start of spring. And before you say no, it isn't, it actually is. It's the start of meteorological spring. Starts March 1st. So technically, meteorologically, we will be out of the doldrums, the winter doldrums, come Saturday. And before I forget, I did forget last week on the podcast to do this. Congratulations to Toby Dunn. He wins the ESPN Detroit t-shirt for being the first to email us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. You can do that too. But he's our first winner from out of the state of Michigan, Rob.
Wow.
He listens to the podcast in Knoxville, Tennessee. Home of Rocky Top, oh Rocky Top. Rocky Top, Tennessee. Your buddy Phil Garner, for example, is a Rocky Top
guy.
We love
Phil Garner.
You have to do it into the microphone.
We love Phil Garner, both of us.
Remember he was a big Tennessee guy, though? Rocky Top, oh, Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Alan Houston was a big Tennessee guy. So anyhow, here we go. 22nd Olympiad closed in Sochi. How did you enjoy your closing ceremonies with the big bear and the kitty cat and the bunny rabbit? They're a little freaky looking. Little animatronic looking, but how did you like that?
I saw a little bit of video on a Today Show, and okay, I didn't watch. I just saw a little bit, and it looked interesting. People always trying to outdo each other. The story I liked better was they did a story. I can't remember what I saw it on CNN or whatever, where they went around and looked at the old Winter Olympics places, like what they are now.
Like Sarajevo. And Grenoble, I believe, and this, just they're like freaky looking, creepy, ghost towns, like how we would do ghost towns in the West, you know, that still exist in parts of Nevada and New Mexico, Arizona, still have those like train stops and whatnot, ghost towns in those places. Yeah, that's exactly what they're like. Some of the highlights, though, that I thought of. Of course, Russia, the first host nation to win the count, the whole medal count, since Norway and Lillehammer in 94. 33 total medals, USA 28. USA led in bronze. Give it up to the bronze people with 12. Russians led with the 13 golds. Norway came in third. They won all the speed skating you could possibly have. Canada, obviously blowing away the United States. And then Sweden in the medal round hockey, 1-0 and 3-0. The Americans lost twice. And Rob, I'll ask you the question right now. Who scored more goals in the medal round games, the two games in the medal round, the Americans or you? Who scored more goals?
I did.
No. You were tied.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Zero.
Zero. Okay, we were tied.
Tied. You scored exactly as many goals as the U.S. 120 minutes of medal round play in the United States came up with nothing. In fact, they were outscored 6-0 in the two games. Carey Price was brilliant for Team Canada. And give it up to Mike Babcock, Kenny Holland, and Steve Yzerman, for putting together another really incredible Canada, you know, effort in the Olympic Games of the 22nd Olympiad. Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels did do the closing ceremonies on Sunday night. And I'm getting a little bit, well, let's put it this way. Chris Collinsworth had a quote, and I wanted to write it down. I did tweet this, too, when I saw the quote. This was Chris Collinsworth's quote as he was watching the closing ceremonies. He was talking about the Olympics in total. You know, it turned out to be okay. Putin was there. Nothing really major happened. The Cossacks beat up Pussy Riot, but what can you do? hopefully they'll never do that again in front of cameras. Idiots. They still have Cossacks. Who knew that? But it was okay. You know, bad hotels, stuff like that. That happens everywhere. But they got out of Sochi pretty unscathed. So here's Chris Collinsworth. Quote, in short, it's been the Olympics. And I just thought that is a brilliant, remarkable comment. Quotable. Let me say it again. In short, it's been the Olympics. Rob, as a quote goes, how's that quote for you?
That's one of those great ones, like the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You know, and
this next to the guy who actually said, do you believe in miracles? This standing next to the guy who in 1980 in Lake Placid, when the United States beat Russia before they beat Finland for the gold medal game, actually said one of the greatest, most iconic phrases in the history of sport, do you believe in miracles? Chris Collinsworth comes up with, in short, it's been the Olympics. And please, enough, no more, Bob Costas is taking the red eye home from Sochi.
Well, but
if I hear one more person tweet it, Facebook it.
But did you see the original? I mean, I was watching when Matt Lauer delivered it, and it was great. It was set up great. He goes, hey, Bob, we're leaving today. When are you flying back to New York? And Bob goes, I think, and then Matt interrupts and says, I think you're taking a red eye home, aren't you?
Okay, well, enough of it already.
That was funny.
The last thing I've got is England. Great Britain only won 4 medals in the Winter Games. They finished 20th in the medal count. But I don't think that's really a reason why Piers Morgan should lose his CNN show. However, that is happening. So
what's
he got canned. The show's been canceled. You didn't know that? Oh, I thought that was common knowledge.
When?
Today.
Oh, today. I was at a funeral all day.
Well, you went to the funeral of Angelo Henderson, by the way. Good for you. I'm glad you represented. And I'm sure it was spectacular.
It was, Greater Grace on West 7 Mile Road in Detroit. A spectacular church and so many people speaking on behalf.
Our guy Angelo, we worked with at WCHB, AM 1200.
So it was a great send-off, a homecoming. That's what we like to do. I think it was more a celebration of his life than tears.
Well, I'm glad you went. But Piers Morgan show is done on CNN. I just thought it had a correlation because of the fact England only won 4 medals.
Who's taking?
Well, we don't know. None of that's known yet. They just know that his show is history. Was it 3 years and out? Something like that. Let's get to Jason Collins. The thing kept saying everywhere you looked, it was a historic signing. The word historic was used many times. 10-day contract with the Brooklyn Nets. He actually was in a uniform against the Lakers, played against L.A., got 11 minutes in there. I don't think he scored. He had a couple of rebounds or something. I did think that the video and photo op of him actually signing, you never see a guy actually sign the 10-day contract. You don't
see
it.
They do it now more and more now, but I think, obviously, given the history and what's going on,
it looked like Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey.
I know what you mean. I saw it too.
And I just watched 42.
Right.
So I just watched this same photo op with Jason Collins and Jason Kidd.
Is that the first time you saw 42?
First time, a couple days ago.
What'd you think?
Off the charts good.
Right, Mark?
Harrison Ford as Branch Rickey is as good as it gets.
Thank you. I thought it was tremendous.
And the kid
outplayed him.
It took me a bit, but when I got into him, he was Jackie Robinson.
About the way he held the bat, Mark?
And even Rachel Robinson.
Oh, because Rachel Robinson was always gorgeous. They picked a gorgeous woman to play her, am I right? I mean, I still get goosebumps. That movie was so good.
You know, when you look at the representation.
And Wendell Smith, the sports writer. Right.
Who the next year was actually granted access, first African-American in baseball writers of America. But when you see the representation and how Jackie Robinson and Rachel Robinson would have looked back then, because that was that was pretty spot on. You can see why they were the perfect couple to make this thing happen in 1947, and why Rickey was stunningly smart to put, he could have gone with any of those guys.
Remember,
the movie actually chronicles, no to Satchel Paige, too old, no to Josh Gibson, or whatever the other guys they used, Cool Papa Bell and all the Turkey Stearns was Detroit guy. He said, no, Jackie Robinson. He went to UCLA. He's used to being with, different people. He's very intelligent. There's something there.
But also, the other part, and I know we're off on a little tangent, but the other part that I really liked about it.
Well, no, a lot of people have compared the Jason Collins thing.
Oh, yeah, no. Matter of fact, I have a column that I just wrote on, a fresh column on ashadowleague.com that says, Mark, when it comes to sports moving, Brooklyn has been at the forefront. You can say whatever. Brooklyn has been at the forefront. And a lot of people, how can you equate the two? No, they do equate. They're comparable from the standpoint of.
Is Chris Humphrey still on that?
No, he's in Boston.
Okay, because don't forget, they were moved forward, too. They were actually willing to go sign a guy who, you know, had been with a Kardashian. That's pretty forward-thinking.
Yeah. No, you're right. But there was something... the one thing I did love about the movie was also, it didn't make...
You're right, Chris Humphries is in Boston.
it didn't make Branch Rickey out to be just some guy who's like a do-gooder. He also said, Mark, and stop me if this is the wrong quote, Negroes have money.
Their money's green. Right? That's the only color I see from them, yes.
He was like, I'm in Brooklyn with all these black people around, and they don't go to my ballpark, and I want to sell tickets.
Until he had to open up to Jackie Robinson at the end, when Jackie said, give me the real reason you did this. And he told him that when he was at some college, Ohio Wesleyan or something, he had dissed an opportunity to embrace, and by the way, Rob is making a Hot Pocket, even though, you know, they have tainted meat. He just, was it a Michelinas?
Yeah.
Those are good. For like a dollar.
88 cents.
Is that 88 cents? No, the Michelina Frozen is good. I'll give it up to you for the Michelinas. He missed an opportunity at that time and wanted to right the wrong. So he did have another story other than their money's green.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it wasn't all what you call it. Do you know what I mean? Like he's a businessman. I liked that part of it. I just did.
No, I was really... I didn't go see 42 because I just don't go to movies as much anymore. Go to the theater. I saw it was on HBO. I said, I'll DVR it and I'll watch it at my convenience. And I said, I hope I'm not bored by another baseball movie. Oh my God. I was really taken how good that was. Let me tell you.
I was going to say.
Not a dry eye in the house.
The other one is with the Philadelphia manager. You remember?
Ben Chapman. The guy who plays him.
Tell me, that's not a hard scene to watch.
He's the perfect actor for that too. He's kind of a douche, if you will, on everything he plays. He was on that ABC show, Suburgatory. So when I saw him, I go, "Oh, this guy'll be great in this role." And then he, you know, how hard is that guy to be, even in a movie, use the N-word like that as a white guy?
How many times?
He must have said it.
I'm with you. It was hard to watch. It was a movie. I knew it was a movie.
And I knew the history of Ben Chapman, and he lost his job. And I didn't. I actually thought there were some really interesting sidebars in that movie. The part about DeRocher getting suspended for the year, and then nobody wanted to manage the Dodgers because Robinson, they wanted no part of him. Everybody knew it was up. Some people now say that DeRocher had planned to be suspended so he could get out of managing Robinson that first year. And the only guy who would do it was a retired Bert Schotten, who, you know, he had a phony baloney with his wife who said he'd never put the uniform back on. So Ricky says, don't wear a uniform. Be Connie Mack. Just manage the Dodgers in a suit and tie.
Yeah, but there's another scene, and I hope, obviously, we're not ruining it for people because the movie's been out for a while. But the other one, though, is in the kitchen when the players are saying they don't want to play. And so that's why I don't buy that DeRocher story that he didn't want to do it, because DeRocher was the one who said, oh, you're worried about this guy? Let me tell you.
Oh, no. I'm not saying Leo.
There's more guys coming by. I mean, it's a great scene where he's basically saying, you're worried about this one guy?
But Ricky had to tell him.
You know?
You're going to do this, Leo. Right. Remember? Because he woke him up and said, Leo didn't. It was hesitating.
Right. But I'm just saying, after he got on board, though, he was like letting them know.
DeRocher missed all of 47, did manage Robinson in 48, and then went to the Giants in 49. So it was only 1 year he had with DeRocher.
I always loved DeRocher because... he used to be the third base coach. How many managers? He's the only one I ever saw do that.
No, Herman Franks did it with the Cubs. Yeah, he did it occasionally.
He was too fat to be
that. They did it more in the old days than they do now. They don't do it at all now, really.
Nobody.
I can't remember the last manager who was the third.
Herman Franks. Yeah.
May have been Herman. Didn't Whitey Herzog ever coach third that you know of? All right. So anyhow, there's your. There's Jason Collins beating Michael Sam to the punch for the first openly gay player in the four majors.
Yeah, I have a column. Go read it on theshadowleague.com. Is exactly about that.
Pistons are hosting Golden State. That we're doing this on Monday at the complex here in Palatial Southfield. This is now the ParkerandTheMan.com headquarters.
Not much longer.
It's okay. So the 23-33 Pistons against the 34-22 Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green makes his return to Michigan. He only gets to come here once a year. Of course, Saginaw, Michigan State. He'll be at the Palace. He's played every game for him so far. It gets about 20 minutes a game. Pistons lost to Dallas 113-102 on Saturday. John Lawyer is now 2-4 since the Mo Cheeks firing. And then after Golden State, 9 of the next 13 will be away. 7 of those 9, here we go out west again. where they've only beaten one team in the last 40 Western games. That streak still exists, and that is a team they're not playing on the next trip, and that is the Sacramento Kings. 1-6 versus the West on the road so far this year. That one, of course, was against Sacramento. Pistons did nothing at the trade deadline, but I think you kind of thought that they wouldn't. You had maybe a Greg Monroe thing.
Right, Greg Monroe, but they weren't going to give him away because there's no reason to. I did.
So were you surprised then that they did nothing or not at all?
A little surprised. But then again, you look around the league. Nobody really made Steve Blake. Is that like the biggest name who moved?
I mean, no, we've said this in the past though, Rob. The NBA trade deadline is not it's not like hockey. It's not even like baseball. It's not very anticipatory. You don't anticipate the NBA trade deadline. Very few big moves are made at the trade deadline. Very few. Ones that really are game changers in the NBA.
2004 is the last one.
Well, Rasheed.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that was a game changer, Mark. Agreed?
So he had the one game in Atlanta, and then he came to the Pistons really via Portland. But yeah, that was the one that changed for that season. He was the last missing link in the chain that won you a championship. When's the last time that happened at a trade deadline?
And I truly believe they wouldn't have won without him. I mean, that's how big of a piece he was.
Speaking of piece, speaking about reading about pieces, Reese's Pieces, Tom Izzo, the piece on him with the Pistons is now up on ParkerAndTheMan.com. And I said to you that I'm on board with the idea that Izzo should be considered as the next head coach.
Didn't I tell you that?
It's time.
It's just one of those things. I told you back in 2000, I thought Izzo should have got the job in 2000.
I'm now ready. Now, since you haven't read it, I'm going to reveal to you who should replace Izzo. And a guy that, to be honest with you, I'm going to be frank with you, Frank. I'm going to frank you. I think I would be very excited if this scenario were to happen. That Izzo becomes the Pistons head coach, and this guy gets the Spartans job. Do you even want to take a guess what I'm talking about?
Is it somebody who's coaching, you know, like Tom Crean?
It's not a college basketball coach.
It's a high school?
No. Hell no.
I don't know.
Yes, I want Gus Kanakis back from East Lansing High School.
Who is it?
Scott Skiles. Three teams in the NBA he coached. All three were bad, and all three finished over 500 in his career as a head coach. He is a devout Spartan, we all know that. We used to call him Mini Judd. He was the coach on the floor back when he played. I would be very excited, and I know he'd want that gig in a heartbeat, over guys like Brian Gregory, Dwayne Stevens, Dane Fife, Stan Heath. There's a big coaching tree with Michigan State now with Izzo and Heathcote. Remember, they've only had three head coaches since 1969. Three. Kanakis, Judd, and Tom. Three head coaches.
That's incredible.
And it's since 69.
Only thing that's more incredible is that they only won two championships.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then there you go. So you'll be happy because he's away from the Michigan State thing.
I won't be,
we don't have to talk about that anymore.
No.
He'll be here doing his thing
I'm just saying,
the Skiles will be on the clock to win one.
If you told me that this team only had three coaches since 69, you would think they did a lot more winning. Would you agree with that?
No, I think two championships since 69, if you look, Indiana's won three in that time. Duke has won a couple more. Those are the top of the top. Louisville's won three. So one more than that. I mean, no one's won 10. Well, except UCLA.
Yuckla.
And they've won one since Wooden.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, Jim Herrick's year. He won one. Ben Howland got to the Final Four four times. But you don't count that.
I don't count that.
Ben Howland didn't win one.
Was it three or four?
Four in a row, I believe.
That's unbelievable.
So anyhow, you can read the piece on the website, ParkerTheMan.com, where you are right now, or you could be listening to us on the PremierSportsTalkNetwork.com, PremierSportsTalkNetwork.com, PSTN, and you can hit them up at PSTN Sports Talk on Twitter. One other NBA thing I want to bring up before we get to the college game from yesterday, the big college matchup. Explain to me, you kind of know the NBA a little bit. Jamal Crawford has found, like, new life. He's heading towards 34 years of age. He's been in the league 14 years. It's been 14 years since he left Michigan.
Good.
No, he's beyond good now. He had 36 against OKC. This is a guy who basically plays off the bench. 36 to kind of trump Kevin Durant's 42. He's averaging 19.1 a game now. Best in 6 years for him. And I just wondered if you... I mean, we don't see him much playing for the Clippers unless you're watching late night on TV. What gets into a guy like Crawford that he's playing so much better than... He might be having his best year ever. He had 1 year we averaged 20, but that was 8 years ago. Why now? Why him? Why 34 years of age?
It's interesting. Well, you know, he was sixth man of the year a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he just plays when he goes out there. And I don't know, Mark, that's very interesting. for a guy, you know, like you say, it's been 8 years since he averaged that many points.
That doesn't happen a lot in that
league. It doesn't. It's very interesting. But he's one of those good guys. He really is.
He's turned out to be so much better in the league than I thought he would be. A lot of people thought he was flash in the pan. 1 year at Michigan, he'll go to the league, he'll fold. He'll, you know, a lot of guys flame out. He should have spent more time. I think he was there right under Ellerby. I don't know if he played. No, he didn't play for Tommy. I think he was there with Ellerby.
Might have been.
Yeah, I don't think he played for Amaker. So I think he wasn't sure about the situation. Plus, he saw some worth, and he went. He's one of those guys, though, that if you look back on it, made the right decision. 14-year NBA career, and no signs of letting up anytime soon.
You mean
soon.
Like Zach Randolph when he left Michigan State, too?
Well, he's had a great career.
But go back and remember.
But for every Zach Randolph, there's Marcus Taylor.
But it's fine, but I'm just saying, he made the right decision.
Kalen Lucas is playing in the D-League. They just talked about Kalen. He was injured. He's coming back this week. So if you wonder about Kalen Lucas, someone asked me about that recently. Where's Kalen Lucas? And I said, I think he's in the D-League somewhere, and he is, but he's been hurt most of the season. Coming back literally, I think, this week. All right, yesterday, Michigan, say what you want to about football and the way Spartans have handled Michigan in football the last 4, 5, 6 years, but John Beilein, you know, I give it up to you.
Things have changed a lot. What, is 6 of 8 now?
Yeah, but these two this year, in a year where it looked like State was on the roll, looked like they're, you know, here we go.
We talked about that, right?
Michigan was in, no McGarry, and here we go. And they lost Hardaway, and they lost Trey Burke, and they're going this way. Those were two really good efforts. Didn't dominate, but they were really good efforts, and to win both games, I didn't expect that.
No, and you know what? Obviously, they're playing with house money after they won up at East Lansing first. But then, Mark, to go and be greedy and get both of them, do you know what I mean? Like, you could be like, well, we beat them up there already. All right, we're good no matter what happens. No, they got greedy. And they said, no, we're going to take both of these. And you're right. And I know Michigan State has injuries. I'm not buying into that. You got to play with who you got, right? You
just gotta play. It's not about not buying it. I'm telling you, they're not as good without Brandon Dawson. I've said this to people. I still believe this. Say what you want about Adrian Payne. Say what you want about Keith Appling. The best overall player on the Michigan State basketball squad is Brandon Dawson. So if you don't have Dawson, but don't try to fool me. See, there's a difference between making an excuse about these guys being out, because Appling's back. Oh, he's not anywhere near where he should be. And Payne's back. So the only guy you're really missing, Gary Harris had a nice game at 21 points. What else he supposed to do? Especially, well, you could play some defense on both LeVert and Stauskas. I mean, Stauskas hadn't done anything in the last month and a half, and all of a sudden he pops you over 25, and LeVert had 23. Here's what I want to get to, though, real quick. Because I'll just say it. Brandon Dawson's best player. That's what I believe. Overall player. That's the combination of everything. And you fear him on the court. I don't know if I fear Keith Appling when I'm on an opponent. I'm not so sure I fear Adrian Payne. Maybe a little. But Brandon Dawson, because he blocks shots, he rebounds, he does everything. I got two guys, Rob. This is what, February 20, whatever, on the week of the 24th? Gavin Schilling and Alvin Ellis. Hello? Is this on?
Is this on? You remember that?
Is this on? Dude, seriously. You were brought in here as high recruits.
Alvin Ellis
came from Chicago. Gavin Schilling's my Vegas guy.
I was told, Izzo got all these big-time guys now. Remember we had this conversation?
I know, and I tried to convince you, I think, of Gavin Schilling.
Don't you remember that?
Because he won a state title in Vegas, or he had this great thing where he was 4 different schools in 4 years, Chicago, went back to Germany, goes to Las Vegas.
One thing I'll give you, Mark, is you remember we had that conversation. You were selling me these guys, and I was like...
Not so much Ellis, but Schilling, I said, here. He's the next Dirk Nowitzki, is what I said.
That's what you told me.
Dude, this guy can't get off... He can't lick Nowitzki's shoes. Come on. Seriously, though, if you are going to be a big-time player, you got to eventually use your minutes in big-time situations. These are like throwaway minutes. Every single game, he sticks Alvin Ellis and Gavin Schilling, and no one has taken these kids to school yet. Sorry, it's time. Your first year is almost done. You're now almost a veteran. You're not a rookie anymore. You've been in enough action, and no help. No help. So you sit down and shut up and don't do anything if that's what the case is. You know, I'm almost... I got to say this, too. Maybe Jabari Parker did make the right move, you know.
You remember that?
I'm not ripping Tom for it. I'm just saying that if there's maybe something's amiss when it comes to how these freshman kind of players hang in East Lansing when Tom's got good veterans. I think he kind of lets it slide a little bit. And it's not just Tom's fault. Dwayne Stevens, I'm calling to you. And Dane Fife, I'm telling you too. You guys, that's your responsibility, is to take the new guys under your wing. Tom's got the guy. He knows that what Applin can do. He knows what AP can do. He knows what Harris can do. But to not get any help out of Schilling and a nothing bucket. And Kenny, we've seen Kaminsky. He can play okay, and so can...
It's not what you expected, though. You expected, you were saying...
But you were saying
Izzo had more talent, Mark, this year coming in than he had in a long time. And that's why you thought that they had a chance to make a run for the championship.
If Dawson's going to be out, and if Denzel Valentine's going to play this well, he's playing well. And Travis Trice is playing okay. So you said, well, why can't they win? Rob, since they were 18-1, they've gone 4-5. Can you remember the last time they were in the middle of a Big Ten race and went 4-5? And it's been lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. They haven't won two in a row. They haven't lost two in a row all season.
Which is bad, though. I mean, you would believe, and what I'm saying is that they can't put together a two or three game. You know what I mean? Like
haven't since they were 18-1.
Wow. All right.
So they had streaks there, but 4-5 since. So you're saying, well, what's the issue? They're not getting any play out of Ellis and Schilling. And I want to bring those names up because no one talks about them. It's always about Valentine and Harris and Trice and AP and Appling. And even Bird and Ghana. I mean, these two guys too. I mean, and Costello. More offense is needed. There's people on this team. They should not be sitting there. Now I'm ranked 18th in the country. Michigan is now past you. Spartans are 22-6, 11-4, still only a half game out of first. Michigan's 19-7, 11-3 in the conference. And by the way, knock, 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 Wisconsin and Iowa are now on your heels because they only have 5 losses. So Michigan's up 2 games, MSU's up 1. And there's still basketball left to be played, 3 or 4 games in the Big Ten. Jim Boeheim, did you see him get ejected at Cameron Indoor? Syracuse lost twice in the week. Boston College only won 6 games. They lost to the...
I saw that game. Now, that was at the Carrier Dome. I watched that game, and that was shocking. Just, they didn't execute down the stretch, Syracuse. Made some turnovers and stuff. Dumb plays. They had always been pulling it out, Mark, though, when they were undefeated. They won a couple games they shouldn't have won at the end. You know what I mean? And it kind of bit them back.
Well, Florida's the new number one. Wichita State's still at number two, even though they're the lone unbeaten in the country at 29-0. They just, Missouri Valley Conference, sorry, you're going to lose out to the SEC every single day of the week. But the new leader in the ACC, with Syracuse's 2 losses, isn't the red-hot North Carolina Tar Heels, isn't Krzyzewski's Duke Blue Devils, isn't Boeheim Syracuse Orange, it's Virginia, is now the leader in the ACC at 14-1. They're now ranked 12th in the country. Let me go back to the Spartans in Michigan. Michigan is at Purdue Wednesday, and then home for Minnesota on Saturday. Ricky Pitino, Pitino's kid. So they're at Mackey Arena on Wednesday, back at Chrysler for Minnesota Saturday. Spartans are off till Saturday when John Gross in Illinois comes into Breslin. So that's kind of college basketball, with the exception of one more thing. Larry Brown and SMU upset UConn again. Beat them in stores this time, 64-55. There's already talk for LB to be National Coach of the Year. The Mustangs are 22-6. In fact, they're exactly the same record as MSU right now. If you would have told me, look, they're SMU and MSU. If you had told me SMU and MSU would have the same records after 28 games, I would have told you, ha, ha, ha. Because that would have said MSU's having a terrible year. But they're both 22-6 and 11-4 in their respective conferences. And now looking like they'll head to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 92. They're back in the poll at 23. But LB is getting some loving for National Coach of the Year.
Well, Mark, he should. What have we always said about Larry Brown? He's a drama queen, all the other issues, right? But he's a great basketball coach. Every team he ever took over, Mark, got better, except for one team. That was the Knicks. He was there for a cup of coffee and a bagel. He wasn't even there that long.
I heard he got a fraggle, not a bagel.
He got a fraggle. He wasn't there that long, and things didn't work out there.
A fraggle.
But everywhere else, he was unbelievable. Everywhere else.
I want to bring up the 600th win for a high school basketball coach here in the state of Michigan. Rob knows him well. His name is Dan Fife.
Shoot the ball.
Shoot the ball who? Well, he's the father of Dugan.
No, I know. I was going to say it. Shoot the ball, Dugan. Remember that?
At Michigan, every night. 600th career victory at Clarkston High School. As I said, father of Dugan, Dane, and Jeremy. Dane, of course, is an assistant at MSU, as we just talked about. Jeremy played at Michigan State. Dugan played at Michigan. Dan Fife played and coached at Michigan. back in the day, back in the late 60s, early 70s. Now, what you may not know, and I kind of forgot this, Dan Fife used to be Danny Fife. Rob, do you know any about Dan Fife's background?
No, I don't.
Okay. Dan Fife wasn't a bad player at Michigan. He was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks in 1971, but he was also drafted by the Tigers in the second round of the baseball draft in 71.
Who knew? I didn't know that.
Two sports star at Michigan. In 1972, he goes 14-7 as a starting pitcher at AA Montgomery for the Tigers. In March of 1973, Danny Fife is traded to the Minnesota Twins for Cy Young Award winner, 215-game winner, two-time 20-game winner, Jim Perry, Gaylord Perry's brother, who had been the Cy Young Award winner in 1970 with the Twins. He goes to the Tigers. Dan Fife played in the majors. He spent 1973 and 74 playing with Harmon Killebrew, Rod Carew, Tony Oliva, and the rest of the Minnesota Twins. He pitched in 14 games for Minnesota, 7 starts, went 3-2 with a high ERA of 5.43, which might get you a new 3-year deal now. 21 strikeouts.
They get you some cash.
And only 2 home runs allowed in 56 innings. I had totally forgotten, Dan, that you played in the majors. Because Dan Fife, if you look him up, you only get the basketball stuff. Danny Fife gets you the Baseball Reference. So
why
Dan,
is that?
They're very name-specific.
That's pretty Danny weird. Fife. What about when I always think about...
But you know, he played 2 years in the majors.
What about Dan... Danny Ainge, is he Danny in both?
Yeah, he's Danny in both.
Because
I've never been Dan Ainge.
I remember him as a third baseman with the Blue Jays. He couldn't hit, right?
Well, he had 219 lifetime with the Jays.
Was that what it was?
Yeah,
but I remember him, Danny Ainge, playing third. I remember. I'm always impressed by that. Seriously, Mark, to make it to the big leagues, to play third base. I know he couldn't hit, but that's not easy. You know what I mean?
Well, I think if you ask Dan Fife now, he would say, I wish I could have played for the Bucks for a little while so it could have been a two-sport. You know, Dave DeBuscher. Did the Buescher pitch in the majors with the Chicago White Sox? A lot of people don't know that. So he had a Hall of Fame NBA career. But he was a White Sox pitcher for parts of 2 seasons after he left the University of Detroit. We'll get to the baseball stuff coming up. We'll get to Daytona 500 from yesterday. That was pretty crazy. The NFL Combine. I got to tell you, Rob, Max Bulla thing, whatever.
What? They won't talk to him?
Dude. 50th anniversary of something important this week. We got that coming up, too. But first, Rob's got a little something for you here on this Parker and the Man podcast for this week of meteorological spring on March 1st, final week of February. Go for it.
All right. If you need a haircut, Mark, a really good haircut, how about that? Make sure you go to Sporty Cuts on 7 Mile between Outer Drive and Myers, Mark, for the best haircuts. Come on to Sporty Cuts, $10 for the all-even haircut, or $8 for boys. So come on, men, $10, boys, $8. We're talking about Sporty Cuts. Hey, Mark?
Yes, Piers Morgan?
Go get Sporty Cut!
All right, it's the part of the podcast where we do shout-outs!
Shout-out!
Shout-outs!
Shout-out!
Why can't we come up with another name for shout-out?
Because shout-out works, Mark. Don't change for what? Just to change?
Yeah, shout-out so... mid-90s now. It's like mid-late 90s. It'd be like saying, what's up? What's up, Rob? Look up the what's up section.
That wasn't going to work that long. That and where's the beef and that all that stuff. That stuff you could see dying out.
I want to do a shout-out first, if I might, to my old pal Luciano Del Signore. You know Luciano. Remember the old Fonte de Amore we were out there?
Yes.
He was a great friend of the Parker and the Man show. He and his lovely wife, Monica, the gorgeous Monica and the family. Luciano has really made it happen. Baco is one of the top high-end restaurants in all of, but still very affordable, right there in Northwestern and all of Metro Detroit. And Pizzeria Biga, which he opened up in Southfield on Franklin and Northwestern, and now the one in Royal Oak, and I believe there's one in Ann Arbor, but the one in Royal Oak right on Main Street, our guy Weston had his party there for his lovely, I don't know what to call her, his girlfriend, if you will, Amanda, for her 30th birthday. But I didn't get a chance to make it, and I thought, God, it would have been double twofold, because hopefully Luciano would have been there. It would have been nice to see Amanda and had to do the birthday thing, but I just wanted to say to Luciano, Del Signore, if you get a chance, the wood-fired pizza, the wood ovens, and just the natural ingredients. You know what? Go online. There's a video. Luciano does a video about how the food is prepared at his places. It's actually... spiritual, the way Luciano talks about food preparation and Italian cooking. probably like nobody else does in the city of Detroit or anywhere, maybe, around the country. Very few do that. But he actually has a YouTube video, and it's also on their website. But the Pizzeria Biga, shout out to them. Rob, what do you got?
Shout out to Sam. Sam the tailor, Mark.
Sam the tailor man.
That's right. Sam Alterations, right there, Mark, on Southfield Road between 12 and 11 mile, closer to 12. Does a great job. Got a little work done for me. Patch on a jacket, a couple other things I needed done. He always takes care of me.
All right, Tigers begin the spring games tomorrow, Tuesday. They begin them, I should say. It's the traditional game. This, you know, I was looking at the Dan Fife winning a 600th game, and I said, Dan, do you ever get to pitch against Florida Southern College? But that's the traditional game, and it all begins tomorrow. And then Wednesday, the Tigers will be at Disney World to start Grapefruit League play. That's against the Braves at 1:05 p.m. Here's your first lineup. This will make you feel warm. First lineup of the 2014 season is thus. Goes this way. Ian Kinsler leading off and playing second base. Torrey Hunter batting second and playing right field. Miguel Cabrera batting third and playing first base. Victor Martinez, V-Mart, batting fourth as your designated hitter. Austin Jackson will bat fifth and will play center field. Andy Dirks will bat sixth and play left field. Rookie James McCann, not Brian McCann, don't get excited. James McCann will bat seventh and play catcher. Nick Castellanos.
The big guy's batting eighth. Is he an eighth place hitter?
He's going to be the eighth place hitter, playing third base. And batting ninth, your shortstop, number one, numero uno, Jose Iglesias. And starting pitching tomorrow, the first Tiger pitcher of the season, will be none other than minor league pitcher Drew Verhagen. Will go tomorrow, the 6'6" right-hander, will go for the Tigers against the college kids. And then it all begins, I said, on Wednesday at Disney against Atlanta. No Nelson Cruz, we know now. He signed, like I told you, I thought it was Baltimore. Sure enough, he signs with the Orioles, 1 year, $8 million. So,
I'm surprised.
This is the way they're going.
Wayne just couldn't come up with that to stay. I mean, they brought him back, Mark, for the playoff, right? Did they make the playoffs? I'm now.
Texas?
No, they didn't make the playoffs, but at the end of the year. Did they? I'm totally like.
Freaking out about the 2013 season?
How come I don't remember if they made the playoffs?
Well, they did. They were in the one gamer.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, right. I knew they brought them back. Yeah. They were in the one game. That's why they were in the wild card. That's what I was going to say. I figured they played.
So you got to remember now with the wild card game, you got to remember more teams.
But see, but with one game.
It was easier to remember back in the old days.
But with one game, you don't remember if it was a series. Like, you know, I would know if somebody played in a playoff.
I understand. I get your quandary.
With one game, I'm like.
You can't remember everything, Rob. Come on now.
I'm old.
Well, it's beside the point. Even young people can't remember everything. But Nelson Cruz, I was the one who kind of stumped. As I agreed, I said there's not enough behind Cabrera, and V-Mart is probably a 10 to 12 home run guy, and you don't really have to worry, if you will, quote unquote, about the power that's being generated. Now, the one guy in this mix that could change this would be Andy Dirks. Dirks is supposed to be a guy who can pop you 20, 25 to 30. That's what the original line on him was in the minors, that he has enough punch, he can pop it, and we haven't seen that yet. We know Austin Jackson is about a 15 guy.
So where was Austin hitting? Where is he going to be hitting?
Five. He's in a five hole.
No, he's not.
First game he is. That's the lineup.
They think he's a five hole hitter?
Well, if you want to, where are you going to do? You going to put Hunter to number three and back Cabrera fourth? Could.
No, I like Cabrera getting an extra at bat. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Well,
I like him to hit in the first inning.
Want Torrey Hunter to be your cleanup hitter?
No, I don't like that either, but I don't know.
Ian Kinsler has to lead off.
No, I think that's the
otherwise
right.
Otherwise, you're going to flip and go Kinsler on the bottom and put Iglesias because of his speed for it.
But why shouldn't, I don't know, I see him as a seventh place hitter, but the lineup's so weak now that I look at it. No wonder he's five. Because look at the end of that lineup.
We said, take Prince Fielder out of this, you're going to see this lineup in a whole different light.
Totally. If he's your fifth place hitter, think about
and remember, Alex Avila's not playing in the first game, so there's no Avila. So
but Avila would be fifth, probably, right?
They might move that around a little bit, I would think. I don't know if Avila would be fifth.
Or sixth.
He had a 20 home run season, but is that an aberration now or the way it's going to be?
I don't know. That lineup is weak at the end. Would you be afraid to pitch at the bottom of the lineup?
Not until I see what Castellanos can do in the majors.
Oh. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be the first one. I'm sorry. And I'm not.
I don't think you'll be the first, but what?
I'm going to be the first one. I was not impressed with his call-up last year. I didn't think he hit the ball hard.
Dude, I told you about Castellanos.
I'm
fearful that he's not – no power. I'm fearful that
– Mark, not only no power, how many balls did he square up? I watch almost every game. How many balls did he square up? I saw him hit two hard balls. Two. And one was foul.
I know. I agree.
I'm not kidding you.
I tried to tell people, but they shoot me down.
I just haven't seen
it. They think Nick Castellanos is the second coming.
And when you're in the minor leagues, Mark, and you're the top prospect, I'm sorry, you shouldn't bat 278. If you're batting 278, go look at his minor league numbers. Do they blow you away?
You're talking to the wrong guy. You're talking to the wrong guy.
But I'm asking,
I was the one who wanted to include him in a trade. I didn't even want to have him.
Am I too harsh or no?
No, I'm willing to give the kid a break.
Be bad 320 in the minor leagues. They say
if he's your best prospect.
If he's your best prospect, he's been 320. Oh, we got to get him up. He's got 15 home runs and kids running and doing this. And
he doesn't run either.
But I'm just looking at the numbers. I'm like, about a 270.
Yeah, I ain't so sure about him playing third.
Well, that's why they moved him to the outfield. I heard he wasn't a good third baseman. I got to see
Dude,
for myself.
I told you. I was more of a fan of Cabrera playing third. I know everybody ripped him, and I couldn't figure out why. Well, every time I turn around, he's making some play, but okay, fine. You want to move back to first because he's comfortable there. Good. That's fine. I just don't think Castellanos is the answer at third. I think they went on the cheap because they're not buying players anymore. I think the bottom line is the bottom line. Doug Fister's gone because they don't want to pay him. Scherzer doesn't have a deal yet because they don't want to pay him.
Yeah, but what did they list? The best off-seal.
Yeah, we talked about last week. Right? Was Fister to the Washington Nationals.
Why? Because they gave away nothing, and they got a guy who only makes $10 million.
Who might be a 20-game winner now.
$10 million. Yeah. And you know what, Mark?
We've been right.
Pitching in the National League. You know, I'm telling you, watch. Fister's going to be
We jumped on this hockey rink theory early. I was all on board.
Right. I told you, though, didn't I? I was telling you.
No. I figured that out, too. I think I figured it out about the same time
okay,
you did.
Okay, but you were on that, board, right?
When we this has changed. We're no more of these nonsensical deals.
We're just like spending money like crazy. They spent $150 million, and I'm telling you. I don't care. I don't have any proof. After last year, when they didn't make it to the World Series, that's what cost Leland his gig. I don't care, Mark. You spend that kind of loot. This is not New York or $150 million.
Well, I think it's easy to say that Leland would leave easily unagreeable because he didn't get it done. And he wouldn't put up a stink, so we don't really know for sure.
And he wouldn't put up a stink because they also gave him a gig. Say, hey, let's.
Here's $1 million or $500,000
bucks. Do you really want to. Look, he came back, Mark. Remember, he quit in Colorado, got his name back, right?
He's gone for 6 years.
Right? Got his name back, had some success. How do you want to go out? You want to be that guy who gets whacked? And then people say you couldn't get it done in Detroit and that's the end of it? Or do you want to go out where people feel good about it? I mean, I don't believe Leland. I was in spring training last year, and I talked to Leland, and I said, if you win a World Series or whatever, is this it for you? And he said, I feel good, whatever. He goes, no matter what happens, I'm going to manage next year. And then all of a sudden he says he's tired. I don't believe it. I was there in spring training.
That's got legitimacy.
He was defiant, Mark, that
so
he was good.
You have it right from him. So you don't believe the thing because you can go back to an issue with Leland that you had, I mean, not an issue, but situation.
A situation where I was at spring training, and I remember it made a little news that Leland says, if you go Google it, it says, Leland, win or lose, I want to manage next year. That's what it was, the story.
If he had told you then that he was getting tired then, you might have thought more merit to it.
If he would have said, yeah, this is it, you know what, I think I got to win because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do more. Then, okay, when everything goes down, I understand it. Not here.
Well, Brad Ausmus, first game tomorrow. Against Florida Southern College. Barry Bonds is back with the Giants, special instructor this coming month of March. I don't know what to say here about this. I really don't have a thought process on Barry Bonds returning to the Giants in uniform as an instructor. Seems a little strange to me. I guess I'll just go there. No, that he can't get in the Hall of Fame, but he's more than welcome to come back.
But that's
and be an instructor.
That's a different circumstance because you can't have it both ways. I think this is where the writers are totally wrong. And you know, Mark, I'm not one of these guys always trying to point to other people and say, I'm not a part of your group. But I'm not a part of the philosophy and the thinking that you just put managers in who were benefited, right, from guys who are on steroids, but you're going to tell the guys who actually, they can't get in?
Especially La Russa.
La Russa had two of the biggest guys, right?
Canseco and McGuire.
And one World Series
bigger,
with them.
Yeah.
And now you're going to say, Tony La Russa's great, but we don't want to count what those guys did? Come on, man, it's just... It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense.
So he is back for that. What did you think of Brett Gardner? Yankees extended him 4 years, $52 million. Here's what I think. I think Gardner got to a point where he's 30 and said, it's fish or cut bait time, and he kind of held the Yankees and said, do you want me or not? I want to know now. And the Yankees didn't see an option. Didn't want to lose everybody.
Like, yep. They like him. I mean, he's a good player defensively. And
$13 million a year good?
Well, but that's the going rate. I tell you all the time. You got a kid, man. You better put a glove in his hand. The money they give out in baseball, dude. A guy like Brett, I mean, that's why Hank Aaron and all those older guys, they fall over. Are you kidding me? That guy's making $13 million, and Hank Aaron probably never made more than what?
$250, I think.
No, he made more than that.
No, $250, I think, was his highest salary. And it was his second to last year with the Milwaukee Brewers.
No way. $250?
He got out of the game in 75. What do you think he was making?
Was it 75?
The first million-dollar player was Ryan in 80.
Right. That's why Hank Aaron's sick.
No, Hank Aaron's sick because he took too many steroids.
Okay.
Oh, no, he didn't go there. I kid you, Hank Aaron. No, I don't. Read the story from Tom House. That's all I say. 2005. If you don't believe Henry Aaron. This is the 100th anniversary of spring training. First game was in Florida on February 27th, 1914. Did you know that, Rob?
Did not know that.
100th anniversary. It was the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Browns in St. Petersburg at a 5,000-seat stadium in what they used to call the coffee pot section. And I think we know why they call it the coffee pot section of St. Petersburg.
Why? Is that what a black fan said?
No, it was actually more Cuban.
Oh, really?
St. Petersburg was more, and they started to migrate back to Miami. But the coffee and the Cubans, and they just had a thing. So it was the coffee pot section of St. I think some people still refer to that part of St. Pete as that coffee pot section. The 100th anniversary game will be Sunday, March 9th. Team Canada, and if they're as good as they are in hockey, they'll win the gold medal in that too, against the Phillies. That will be the official 100th anniversary game of spring training down in Florida. So if you didn't know that, Tigers have been in Lakeland since the 30s, with the exception of 3 years during World War II, where they actually trained in Evansville, Indiana. So they wouldn't let them go all the way down because of the wartime. They didn't want to do too much traveling, so they went to Evansville. That was the closest place the Tigers could find where there was no snow, and it was semi-decent to train, was Evansville. They actually did like a reconnaissance to find out how far they could go. So spring training, 100th anniversary, I thought that was pretty cool. One other baseball, well, the Metrodome, did it get imploded? Is that gone now? Did I see that over the weekend? Metrodome is history?
Didn't see it.
Because that's where they're building the new thing. Any thoughts about the Metrodome going bye-bye?
Well, I mean, I covered a lot of games, obviously. You know, being covering the Lions for all those years with the Detroit News and Free Press. So I went there.
Happy to see it go?
Once a year.
Did you hate it?
It was okay.
What did Mike Ditka once call it? World's largest indoor rolling rink or something?
You know what he said? Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't like the greatest place. The noise level, I will give them that.
What about that Viking horn?
I love that horn.
Really?
I do. What? You didn't love it?
Hated that damn thing. Every 5 seconds, ah-woo. God, I couldn't stand it. And that idiot with the thing, the horn, and the funky-looking jacket. I didn't like that place. I just thought that place was very cold, very like stone cold. I mean, yes, we'll always think of Kirby Puckett and Ken Herbeck. Think of 87 and 91 when they won the World Series there. And Tigers playing them in the ALCS in 1987 there. I mean, there's some memorable moments at the Metrodome, but kind of glad it's gone. The other last thing I want to mention about Major League Baseball, Mike Trout. And the Angels are talking about a 6-year, $150 million extension.
Don't do it!
Really, you say no. Mr. Sabermetrics, Mr. Everybody Loves the War Replacement Number, Mr. He is the poster child for Sabermetrics in baseball now, for the extended metric system in statistical information in Major League Baseball, you don't think should get a 6-year 150? You just mentioned that Brett Gardner was good at 4-52.
No, but that's not my point. My point is he's so young, and let it play out. What are you in a rush? This is the problem. You wind up saddling yourself. You know what? I don't think you should do it. I really don't. I don't.
I'm not mixed on it. I think I would. I think I've seen the coming, and I've seen that this guy is the real deal for the next decade.
I'm not saying he's no good.
Plus, if I'm going to sign a guy to a 6-year extension, I'll take a guy who's 22 and do that rather than a guy who's 30 or 28 even. If anybody deserves a 6-year extension for what he's done so far in baseball, I would say that Trout, under current economic conditions, would be that guy. Two times he could have won the MVP award, And it just shows you what baseball still thinks, because he didn't win it.
And,
he didn't win it.
Why do you have to go through those? Derek Jeter played hard.
I don't see the Jeter again. You love Jeter.
I'm going to get to Jeter. Because he played all these years, and Mark can be 20 years with the same team, playing in high scrutiny, New York, all this. They didn't go out and sign him like that. I understand Trout's a... Just play it.
Yeah, he got paid pretty well.
No, when the time came, but not premature. After 2 years, Mark, I'm not doing it.
Isn't 1996 anymore.
I'm not doing it.
Okay, all right. Then he probably won't be playing for you.
That's fine. I'll get the best 6 years out of him, and then he can go to free agency. How's that?
Daytona 500.
How's that?
Well, you're way over there now. You're having bread? Is that what we're eating now? Just bread and butter?
No, with garlic.
Ah, okay. Daytona 500 won by Dale Jr. Did you watch any of that yesterday? Any of that 10-hour mess yesterday? Second for Jr., 10 years apart. He won in 2004. There was a 6.5-hour rain delay. It was apropos, I suppose, that Jr. won, Dale Jr., on the day that Austin Dillon, we talked about it in the last podcast, drove the number 3 car that his dad, that Earnhardt's father died in 2001. Drove that for years, the man in the black hat, the man in black. Dillon actually finished in the top 10, so it was good, you know, for the rookie. It was a good effort, especially after the way that thing played out. Final two laps on the restart was great. But here's the thing that was really funny. If you were not aware that there was a rain delay at Daytona, and they had thunderstorms and all sorts of boomers, that's 6.5 hours, they showed a repeat of the 2013 race. You know, Fox had to have programming. They 10 hours on this thing. They showed the 2013 race. The problem is, and I don't know why they didn't do this, they didn't keep up a thing that says you are watching the 2013 race. So, of course, on Twitter, on Facebook, people started to say, I'll give you an example. I won't mention her name. I'll be so nice. I usually would because I'm a dick about it, but I'll do it. I won't say it. She posted on Facebook, this woman I know, I've been watching the NASCAR, and Danica Patrick has become the first woman to lead a lap at the Daytona 500. And that's true. It just was last year. So some people who were watching the race had to point out, you know, person, that you're watching last year's race. And one person wrote, yeah, I think you said the same thing last year when she actually did become the first woman. And she said, I'm so embarrassed. I cannot believe I thought for the last hour I've been watching this year's race. Well, Twitter was crazy when it was over because it went so long, the delay, that we saw Jimmy Johnson win the race from 2013. Twitter, all over it. Jimmy Johnson has just won the Daytona 500. I mean, it blew up on Twitter that Jimmy Johnson lights up about the result. Even Fox News, congrats to Jimmy Johnson, who just won his third Daytona 500. Fox News was caught in that. On their own network.
How could that happen? Come on. Somebody was watching who whatever and actually did that?
Was doing their social media and said, oh, I better post.
No, but you always have to make sure you get the official story from, you know, where'd you get the, not just what you saw.
He's watching it on his own network. Why, Rob, would he question it? If it doesn't have a thing that says rain delay, or if it doesn't say consistently you are watching last year's race, or keep up 2013 Daytona 500, they run all sorts of other crappy crawls, why can't you do that consistently? I watched some of that. I turned it on when I knew they were in rain delay, to like an hour later to see where they were, and I saw the race, and I went, wait a second, is this... I had to wait. I didn't know. I said, maybe they were back to racing. I don't know how much rain there is down in Daytona. And I realized, wait. Danica was already out of the race. So now I see her racing fourth. It can't be. So I wasn't fooled by that. But I could see, I'm all choked up, in defense of the people that did that, I could see how you could mistakenly say that you thought you were watching the 2014 event and not the 13. But for Fox News to tweet, congrats, Jimmy Johnson.
Bad.
After he comes across the finish line in a rain-delayed race from the that you're watching from... Oh, forget it. I can't even do it anymore. The 2013 version. And Terry Labonte, final 500. I was hoping he would do better.
Well, it's funny because Fox News also predicted that Mitt Romney would win in a landslide.
Well, that was the next tweet down.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Mitt Romney is still leading in Ohio. That's what it said. It's still leading in Ohio, Mitt Romney. That was the next tweet after the Jimmy Johnson tweet. I said this on social media. I said we would talk about this. Richard Petty, Danica Patrick thing. Richard Petty came out and said, he's 76 years old now, the king. He started this feud with Danica Patrick saying the only way she can win a NASCAR race is if everyone else stays home. He didn't say it about Ricky Stenhouse, her boyfriend. He didn't say it about anybody else who hasn't won on the NASCAR circuit. And there's plenty of guys who've been around a long time, never won a race. He said it about her. He said, Danica Patrick, the only way she can win is if everybody else stays home. Now, I'll let you mull on that while you have your garlic toast, your Texas toast or something. Mm. Is this just the rant of an old man? Is this a guy who don't get it? Does he have no respect for Danica? He took the time. He knew what he was saying. He's very lucid.
Why do you have an issue? I don't have an issue. So what? He picked her out and he blasted her. What has she done, Mark? Tell me, give me her credentials. What has
she
done?
She won one IndyCar race. She did win a race on the IndyCar circuit.
Okay, but she's been
out legitimate there IndyCar race.
She's been out there for a while. She's no threat. You think she's gonna win?
I don't know. She did, as we saw yesterday, she did lead laps at the Daytona 500 last year. She was on the pole. She won the pole for the Daytona 500.
Did she win? Has she won yet?
Not in NASCAR, but she's not been there that long. There's plenty of guys who've been around a lot longer and never won a NASCAR race either. Now, we look at her with more scrutiny because she's a female in a man's sport, and there's very few females that drive NASCAR.
Wake me up when she wins.
Well, here's the deal. Tony Stewart, her car owner, and Danica herself has said, I'm cool with it, wants to do a little battle of the sexes, a la Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King. She's willing to race Richard Petty. Petty's been asked if he would race her. Does that settle anything? Is that something you'd want to see? Where do you stand on a Richard Petty, 76 years old, Danica Patrick match race?
Only one person has anything to lose.
She does.
He does.
Why does he have to lose? The King's got 200 victories. He hasn't driven in 20 years. His last ride was a long time ago. 200 victories, seven championships. What does he got to lose?
No, if he loses, then he lost her girl. Oh, he ripped her.
Do you say that about Bobby Riggs to this day? The late Bobby Riggs? He lost to Billie Jean?
Riggs pigs.
What are you saying there? Vladimir Putin? What are you saying there?
No, I don't know. I'm not interested.
Would you watch that?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Okay.
You remember there used to be a game show called The Better Sex. Do you remember that?
I do. I do remember that, sure.
Can you imagine doing that now, Mark? That was the 70s. That stuff doesn't matter.
I don't know. Kind of the Bachelor and Bachelorette are like the better sex. I mean, it's a competition. It's just weird. I suppose you could still probably get away with something close to that. A lot of those TV shows back then, you know, didn't do a great job with women. We know that. Unless there was the Lucy Show or something. Most of the women were objectified and home, you know, stayed at home, had the apron on. They always had their hair coiffed.
Leave it to Beaver. Go look. She always had pearls on. Beaver come home from school, Mark. She has an apron, a beautiful dress, her hair's done, pearls. And then they would have dinner.
Ward, aren't you a little harder than the Beaver?
Hey, and Ward would be sitting there, Mark, having dinner with a suit and with a jacket and tie on.
But my grandfather did that too.
He didn't wear a jacket to the table.
Oh, yeah, he did. I never saw my grandfather. Best I ever saw was the jacket off.
That's what I mean.
I don't know if I ever saw him without a tie, even on Saturdays and Sundays. Wow. I don't remember if I ever saw my grandfather, maybe in a sweater and a button-down shirt. But I never saw my grandfather in like a t-shirt, walking around in his like jammies, even when we stayed over at the house. Never. That's my grandfather, not my great-grandfather.
You never saw him
with
a wife beater?
No. Never.
Really?
No. And my other grandfather didn't know
what
I'm
talking about, an acer. I shouldn't use that term. I mean, that's not a right term. Can you erase that?
I can't erase it. You just have to go with it. You just have to go with it. We'll get past it. Remember, it's a podcast. You're good with pretty much anything you say. NFL Combine. Johnny Manziel checked in at under 6 feet. 5'11 and 3/4".
No shocker.
So he's not a 6 foot tall quarterback. He did run a 4.68 40. Derek Carr, who's very highly thought of in this coming draft, 4.69, which was a little more impressive than people thought. Taylor Lewan from Michigan ran a 4.87 40. That was the fastest offensive lineman in the combine. But the thing about the combine that I can't get past, and this is why you needed to come out with it, Max, baby, Max Bullitt did have a, finally, had a long-form speak with the media. It wasn't just the one I heard on the East-West Shrine game for, you know, 2 minutes. But still, absolutely refused to reveal the reason for the suspension. He admitted mistakes. He talked about being with his team when they won the Rose Bowl. When the Spartans won, he went to the hotel. He cried with the group. They celebrated. They all came up to him and how grateful they were for what Max did for the school for 4 years. But, of course, Max didn't play because he was suspended. Would not. He said NFL teams know what it was. People around just me know what it was.
So you're not man enough to stand up? You made a mistake. It doesn't.
What could you have possibly done that would have been so heinous? Steroids, so what?
Right. What is it? What is it that obviously they know and they're going to decide your future on whether or not they're going to draft you? Now, why can't you just man up?
I'm pretty sure, Rob, now it's steroids, okay? I'm kind of good with the idea that
Why is that?
Why am I sure about it? Because there's no criminal record. It's not a Brendan Gibbons situation. It doesn't seem to be any Brendan Gibbons-like situation at Michigan. This seems to be an isolated incident with this one player, although I roll my eyes at that because I think that most universities are still roided up. He got nabbed. He got caught. For whatever reason, the university does not want to disclose that that was the team violation he was suspended for. But I think Mark D'Antonio to this day, and I think Max Bullitt to this day, is making a mistake by not just fessing up to what it was. I think it sounds criminal. It sounds like you're covering something up. And I'll tell you this, and I tweeted this out. I said, if Richard Nixon had this kind of secrecy, we never would have heard about Watergate. Because I'm stunned still that no one has just popped out and said, okay, here's what it is.
It's going to come out. So it's going to come out. But I agree with you. It seems ridiculous. For him to still be around the team and for them to, you know, and all that other stuff, and he's still a Michigan State guy, and it's not like they ran him off, Mark, and they said, never come around here anymore or wear a green and white sweatshirt.
He wore the helmet in the East-West Shrine game. He still wore his Spartan swag.
I don't get it. I'm with you.
I don't either. It's the craziest thing I've seen in college football, at least up at East Lansing, and there's been a lot of crazy things up there. And I just don't understand why the Bullitt thing still gets covered like it has been. Lions are dumping at least 5 more guys. Here's the guys. John Wendling, gone. Israel Adonijay, gone. I liked him coming from Chicago. Rocky McIntosh, gone. Dylan Gandy, gone. And here's the big one. Here we go. David Akers, gone. Here's the kicking carousel that I talked about for years. And you know I did, Rob. It gets teams all the time. We're going to go find another kicker. For there'll be 3 kickers in 3 years, because you got to include Jason's last year, Akers 1 year, now a new guy. Remember, we haven't seen this in Detroit since the 60s. Go back to the late 60s. You start with Errol Mann. You went to Benny Ricardo. You had a little quick hit in there in the 70s with Micah Meyer and a couple when Ricardo left before Eddie Murray got there. And then it was Eddie Murray straight into Jason Hansen. 23 years. Of those two guys alone, basically 45 years of Errol Mann, Benny Ricardo, Eddie Murray, Jason Hansen. Now you're going to go to your third kicker, and he may not work out. Who's going to be the next guy? You want to know one of the things that gets teams? Go back and look at the history, is when they can't find a damn kicker. You say, well, it's the most unimportant. No, it's not. It's about the most important job, second to quarterback on the entire football team, because it can kill you.
Yeah, it can, and I agree with you. But the other thing is, they had that surefire kicker for all those years. What did they get him? It didn't get him anything. And the one kick that needed to be made.
Well, we always make the joke. Geez, how bad would it have been if Jason Hansen weren't there?
I mean,
but
right.
He did go to 6 playoffs in the 90s, though.
I'm not knocking him, Mark. But name his big kick. Tell me, Jason.
Well, he can't make a big kick he's not put in that position.
I'm just asking you. That's all.
Do you mean does he have a Paul Ettinger kind of kick? He won a couple of games in overtime. He won games. He has more 50-yard field goals than anybody in the history of the game.
I don't remember one big kick.
Well, because the Lions didn't play big games. What? But that's not Jason's fault. They're not playing big games. It'd be one thing if they didn't get to the NFC Championship game because of a kick he missed. He never had one of those either, I can recall.
No. Those games were over when they played. Jason Hansen wasn't involved at all.
Well, all I know is that they got to go find another guy.
Okay.
And I don't care if it's Kickalicious or whatever idiot you're bringing in this time.
Maybe it will be.
I was a little surprised that Akers lasted 1 year. I know he didn't have a good year. But I thought he was leased here for at least a good 2 to 3. So to say that one of the best, most accurate kickers in the league barely got through the first year.
Yeah, but he had a couple of misses that they were really mad at, you know, like midway through the season. And I think that...
if you look back, you say that did affect games, so the Lions could have won a couple more and then gone to a playoff. You're right,
yeah.
Wasn't it that Arizona game? That was a big game. He missed kicks in that game. He missed two in that game.
Martin Mayhew implies that Dominican Sue will have a done deal by the eve of free agency, which will be, what, March 11th?
I'll believe it when I see it.
You don't think it's happening?
No. Nope.
You don't? So you're saying Martin Mayhew's lying?
No, I'm not saying he's lying. I just...
You're calling Mayhew a liar. Why don't you say...
Oh, stop. Stop with that.
Well, he's not saying, we don't know. He's not saying, we'll see what happens. We're negotiating. He says, we believe we'll have a deal by the eve of free agency.
Okay.
I wouldn't say... He's not giving him much jargon and much frivolity, Martin Mayhew. He's not, he's not going to be the headliner at the Chucklehead anytime soon.
Yeah, but Mark, the whole quote was, and if it's not, and he did say that. I read the quote. And he did give us an out clause. He did say, and if not, it won't be the end of the world or something like that. So he talks about that he believes...
Won't be the end of the world if it's not by the 11th of March.
Right.
Not if he never signs again.
But I'm just saying, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not sure Ndamukong wants to be here. He got a new agent or all this other stuff. And I don't know if the Lions really can afford to have three guys making that kind of loot. You'll never be able to add any other players that you need. And again... Every time you get injuries, you don't have anybody to come in, and you have no depth at a lot of positions.
Doesn't it help, though, that Dominican Sue grew up in Portland and went to Nebraska? He doesn't seem to have, there have been guys who've done this. Oh, my God, I grew up as a Cleveland Brown. I've got to play for the damn Brown.
He doesn't
have anything like that. He's not into it, either. He's not like, oh, was I a big Dallas Cowboy fan? I got to play for the Cowboys. We've seen guys do that.
Roy Williams. You remember that Roy Williams when he came here? He wanted to
play. Damn straight he wanted to play with the Cowboys. He was very open about it.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw him as a Lion forever. No way.
No, I didn't. I'm with you.
You're totally right on that. Roy Williams wanted to be the second Roy Williams with the Cowboys.
Absolutely. I always looked at him like that.
Do you believe the story about Jim Harbaugh?
That he almost left?
That he almost was traded to the Cleveland Browns, a la the John Gruden deal from Oakland to Tampa back in 2002?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some truth to it. When you fire your coach like that, and Cleveland probably wanted to make a statement and go out, and I don't know why it didn't go down. What was the snag?
Well, I think that it was 4 draft picks that Oakland got from Tampa when the Bucks signed Gruden, got Gruden. It was basically a trade. It was 2 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders, and I think some money was involved,
too. And you'll never have to worry about that, because you know what Gruden did? He went down there and they won
the Super Bowl.
No one
says a word. Right,
no one ever brings up what picks they were. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
It was 2 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders. That's a lot. If they hadn't won, that would have been a lot to give up.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster if you don't win, right? That's like the Doyle Alexander trade.
$8 million, as well as the 4 picks.
Wow. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot to give up.
Yeah, but they got their championship. I'll do it if I can get a championship.
No, it was the Glazers. I give them credit. They said, we're this close. This freaking guy's gone.
Tony can't get us there, right? Because Tony, I mean, Mark, we talked about it all the time. I said, I'll never forget this. I was doing...
Tony Dungy was like Brian Murray.
Yeah.
He was the Brian Murray of the Buccaneers.
I was doing, you ready for this? I was doing the old Stephen A. Smith show, quite frankly. And I'm on there, and Michael Smith was covering the NFL. You know, numbers never lie. No, numbers never lie now. But he was covering. And we were having a debate. It was about Tony Dungy. I looked straight at the camera. I said, if Tony Dungy doesn't get it done this year, he should be fired. Michael Smith almost fell off the couch. Because it was like the idea. You know, Tony.
I think you said that on the radio show.
No. This was... I might have, but...
No, I think you said that. You said it on that and you said it on a radio show.
Well,
right?
With Michael Smith?
No, I think you came on the...
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm just saying, but...
You took that theme, I remember you said...
I think I even
said you're an idiot.
Right. And I said that, and what happened? He got fired, too. And he got,
basically.
Yeah, basically. Okay, but my point was...
Wasn't allowed to stay to finish the job, let's put it that way.
At some point, you got
to
win. And they looked at it and said, you know what, we got all this talent, we're so close, we got to win.
The movie, speaking of Cleveland, about Kevin Costner playing the general manager, Sonny... Werblin or whatever.
What?
The movie. Kevin Costner playing the Cleveland Browns general manager. Called Draft Day. Will be out April 11th.
But Sonny Werblin.
His name is Sonny something. Sonny Parker, Sonny Werblin.
Well, Sonny Werblin was, Sonny, you know.
I know, was a real guy.
Was a Knicks. Yeah. He was a GM for the Knicks. Sonny Werblin.
Sonny Williams. I have to look it up on the thing again. But Sonny, Kevin Costner.
I just hadn't heard that name, Sonny Werblin, in a long time. Worry.
He plays a guy named Sonny, who was the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. So this is an actual movie. If you haven't heard it, it's a movie called Draft Day. It's about his wanting to make the Cleveland Browns get a better draft pick. I don't know how that's a movie, but it's very Jerry Maguire-ish, it sounds to me. A lot of cameos, football guys, and whatnot in the movie. I just thought that was a related story since Harbaugh could have been a Cleveland Browns coach. Harbaugh's laughing it off. I think it's silly. He's not leaving San Francisco for Cleveland. Hockey returns Tuesday. Carolina at Buffalo, the only game on the NHL schedule. Red Wings are back Wednesday in Montreal. Their first game since February 8th before the Olympic break. Wings, if last we looked, 26, 20, and 12, 64 points. Kind of a teetering on the eighth spot of the playoffs right now in the East. Still weird to call them the East. After Montreal, they'll play Ottawa Thursday, so they play the Senators. And, of course, no Henrik Zetterberg. Had the surgery, got injured in the Olympic Games. John Tavares was also injured for the Islanders at the Olympics. Garth Snow was very pissed. And he was now the latest to call for no more NHL players in the Olympics. To echo what you said, which is, and he here, let me just finish this and you go. He said, I get what you're saying. I know that the Olympics didn't hurt him. Hockey did. But if he's going to be hurt, he's going to be hurt on my dime, not on theirs. Go.
Totally agree. And what did I said that. That's what should have, absolutely, Mark, because you can't. You got money invested in these people. You've sold season tickets and all this other stuff. You can't afford to have your people.
You had season tickets to the Islanders. You would have seen John Tavares play.
Camille, we wouldn't have been able to go.
You would have just stayed home because their best player is not playing?
What a dump. Nassau Coliseum. Still my dump, but what a dump.
Well, they're leaving there, right?
Next year.
Yeah.
That's where they're playing.
See, I like the fact that Garth Snow, who, by the way, has talks out of both sides of his hoo-ha, but I'll leave that alone for now, that he said, I know what you people are going to say. That Sochi, Russia, didn't hurt him. He would have gotten hurt anyhow. Fine. Then he gets hurt when I'm paying him in my game that means something and not over there playing for them for some medal. And I'm all, go, yay, USA, USA, USA. But it's wrong. I don't want to see it ever happen again. That was Snow's reaction to that. More so, we didn't hear a peep out of Papcock or Holland about the Zetterberg injury because he was already hurt going in anyhow.
Right.
There was already an issue there.
He probably shouldn't have been playing because he was already hurt, right?
But even Holland, I'm not keeping Zetterberg away from Team Sweden. It ain't going to happen in my lifetime.
Right.
He'd rather quit the NHL than be kept out of Team Sweden.
Well, see, in that for foreign players, it's a much bigger deal to represent your country. I'm not trying to discount or say people play for the United States, but, you know, we're more local in this country than we are national. Is that fair?
Well, I think by the mere fact that they didn't start using a dream team till the 90s when they could have done it. 1980, they could have. Right. Guys could have protested. But we had a Ruzioni out of college. I just think it's going to be, I'll tell you this right now. If you get your way and they do pull the NHL guys from Team USA or whatever, they got no shot to even bother. They might not even make the Olympics. Might not even make it. Forget, you know, going to the medal round. Might not even get in. That's how bad that team will be. Because no one's playing in college hockey that is probably going to be good enough to hang with these guys. Not even close. So you'll get what you want. You just won't have any. You won't be in the Olympics at all. And you'll have a nice time doing it. All right, just a couple other things to wrap it up. 50 years ago, this is the big one I mentioned earlier. February 25th, 1964, Miami Beach. What happened to Rob Parker?
50 years ago, Miami Beach?
Yeah, this was right after the Beatles came here, and of course the assassination after now was 3 or 4 months old, but some other big event now took place on February 25th, 1964 in Miami Beach.
Larry King got his first radio show.
No.
Well, Mutual.
It could have been. It could have been
that's
close.
Not bad,
it,
right?
Yeah, it could have been close.
Hey, don't laugh.
Sporting event, though. Maybe that's the first time he and Katie Couric.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring that. You just can't let that
go.
You cannot let it go.
I know too many stories, man.
I don't know. What happened 50 years ago in Miami Beach?
A young fellow named Cassius Clay took on Sonny Liston in a fight that for the heavyweight championship of the world, in which Liston was a 7-1 favorite. The young Cassius Clay disposed of Liston in the 6th round when Liston waved the towel and couldn't come back for the call. The first heavyweight championship of 3 separate heavyweight championships for young Cassius Clay, who 2 days after the fight became Muhammad Ali. They rematched in 1965. It lasted 2 minutes. Liston went down like a ton of bricks, like a box of rocks. And the rest is history. But that was 50 years ago on the 25th, the original Clay-Liston fight for the heavyweight championship outside. So they used to do it in Miami Beach. And just as your postscript, Ali, now 72, of course. We know he's got the Parkinson's. Moved from Michigan. He was in Berrien Springs for a long time. He's now living in Scottsdale, Arizona. Sonny Liston died penniless and as a heroin addict on December 30th, 1970. So he did fight. He fought about four or five more times. His wife found him 6 days after he was dead, which was after New Year's 1971. But the coroner in Las Vegas, that's where he died, was in Southern Nevada, determined by the smell and by how long he'd been laying there as December 30th, right before New Year's Eve. He is buried in Las Vegas. There's a little cemetery there. You can see it if you go to McCarran Airport. In a little grave with a headstone that just says, a man. Sonny Liston, A-M-A-N, a man. And that's his gravestone. It's right there by the airport in Las Vegas where he loved, and he lived the rest of his life, which wasn't very long. The funny thing about Liston is, when you think about it, think about the great musicians that died during that time period. Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix. They all went around that night, that drug 68 to 71 time period. Liston was part of that. Because that's, you know, there was never a question. He was heavily into medications and drugs of all sorts and kinds. And he never got over losing to what became Muhammad Ali. But that was it, 50 years ago, already half century. A couple of final things. This one, first of all, we did forget one shout out. John Dingell is retiring, and I'd be remiss, and I know you would too. Age 87, whether you like his politics or not, it's not the issue. Democrat, 15th, 16th district, southeast lower Michigan, retiring after being in the United States Congress since 1955. He replaced his father, John Dingell Sr., who died at age 61. Dingell Sr. had been in since 33. This is 81 years, and Debbie Dingell's running for a seat.
I was going to say, right, and if the seat in the family, I know.
81 years of Dingell's has been in the 15th or 16th district after the rerouting, after the redistricting, since 1933. 1933 is just 2014. But John Dingell, and I did the thing with him in the Super Bowl. Remember Danielle Carmanis did this kind of We Are Detroit thing for the Super Bowl? I still have the DVD. And I got to do it the same right after John Dingell. So I got to talk to Dingell for a long time.
I saw that. Very nice.
Yeah. And
I was bummed out.
I'm different because I actually believe in his politics, but that's beside the point. Right. Pretty progressive liberal. What were you saying? You weren't in it?
No, I should have been in it with you. Me and you both together, Parker the man. I was hurt.
Let's go back in time. You didn't tell me at the time you were hurt.
I was hurt. I just didn't want to let you know, but I was hurt.
Were you really serious?
Yeah, I was hurt.
Oh, I didn't know that. Now you tell me 8 years after the fact. Well, you know what? You knew I knew Danny, so
I know.
That was not a big deal. It was the big guys. What can I tell you? It's like me and Dingell and Mitch, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kid Rock, you know, Aretha, I think. Just the big names, right?
All right. Don't worry.
You were probably that next tier. She was trying to get your number.
Yeah,
she wanted to call you to do it, and I don't know. I don't know what happened. Phone number got lost.
Whatever. All right.
Left a message. The last thing I want to ask you, and Erin Andrews wants to be taken as a serious sports reporter, right? She wants to be is she all right? Should she really be the new host of Dancing with the Stars if she wants to do that seriously?
No, it's either one or the other. Once you do that,
I'm assuming you saw it, right?
No.
You didn't see that was happening. Brooke Burke got let go, so she's out at Dancing with the Stars. I said, it'll be interesting to see who the new host is, with Tom Bergeron, who's staying. Erin Andrews. Well, I mean, does that affect you? If it were a man that got that, if Bob Costas was the new host, it can't because he's got so much pink eye. If Bob Costas were the new host of Dancing with the Stars, could you take him as seriously? I know sports is not supposed to be taken seriously.
No, I know. I don't know.
I'm not using that word in that fashion.
I'm not going to say she, no way, no how, should be involved in it. It just seems weird. And then the other thing, too.
Well, Carissa Thompson did that Splash show. She hosted that.
I don't know.
I don't put Carissa Thompson around, to be honest with you, even on the same plane as Erin Andrews. She always talks about being a serious sports person.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess she's branching. I think she wanted to do more stuff. But what's weird is you know, Dancing with the Stars and ABC product. She left ESPN ABC to go to Fox, and now they're giving her a show. It's just weird. The things in television, Mark, that never used to happen are just weird to me now. So,
you know Bree Walker, right?
Yeah. Used to work in New York. Married to Jim Lampley.
Jim Lampley has the hands?
Right.
Have you seen her?
No.
She just got a DUI.
Really?
Check out her picture.
Not good?
Rob, you won't recognize her.
Okay.
So much plastic surgery. She's like the cat lady now. Beautiful Bree Walker.
Okay.
You're not even.
I need to look it up.
You need to look it up before you see how shocked you'll be. And Garrick Utley died, and I tweeted about that, and I'm parking the man. One of the great, you know, you want a quintessential newsman? Garrick Utley from NBC, age 74, was a quintessential newsman. I'm excited because Dallas is back tonight on TNT. Third season of Dallas. The new Dallas is back. Without JR, of course, because first year without Larry Hagman since he passed away. Anything else? What do you got? You got anything you want to bring up before we call it a day here?
No, that's it.
Mr. Podcast Man?
Nope, that's it. It's all good. So don't forget, check out my fresh column on theshadowleague.com. And I'm writing about Brooklyn. Always moving the meter in sports. Jackie Robinson first, now Jason Collins. Check it out.
And don't forget to check all we've got out here on ParkerTheMan.com and the Premier Sports Talk Network, PSTN, PremierSportsTalkNetwork.com. Read my stuff that's on ParkerTheMan.com. Check us on Twitter, at ParkerTheMan, Facebook as well. You'll get all the rundowns of what we have in the podcasts. And email us, ParkerTheMan at Yahoo, if you want to win a ESPN Detroit t-shirt. First one to do so will be like, what did I say his name was? Toby Dunn from Knoxville, Tennessee. He was the latest winner. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time on the podcast. It'll be March, officially March, next time we do it. He's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. We'll see you next time. And see you later.